We'll pray for them, no? So last time we say about prayer. A soul arms itself by prayer for all kinds of combat. In whatever state a soul may be, it ought to pray. A soul which is pure and beautiful must pray, or else it will lose its beauty. A soul which is striving after this purity must pray, or else it will never attain it. A soul which is newly converted must pray, or else it will fall again. A sinful soul plunged in sins must pray so they may rise again. There is no soul which is not bound to pray, for every single grace comes to the soul through prayer. If you want to have the grace, ask for it. I recall that I have received most light during adoration, which I made lying prostrate before the Blessed Sacrament for half an hour every day throughout Lent. That's a way of prayer. During that time, I came to know myself and God more profoundly. And yet, even though I had the superior's permission to do so, I encountered many obstacles to prayer in such a way. It's always obstacles, whatever. Let us so be aware that in order to pray and persevere in prayer, one must arm oneself with patience and cope bravely with exterior and interior difficulties. So even though you want to try hard to pray, there's always some kind of obstacles from outside, from inside. Perseverance is not easy. One or two times today, while you feel good, you can do that. But all the time, the interior difficulties a discouragement, dryness, heaviness of spirit, and temptations. Something distracts us. The exterior difficulties are human respect and time. One must observe the time set apart from prayer. This has been my personal experience, because when I did not pray at the time assigned for prayer, later on I could not do it because of my duties. Or if I did manage to do so, this was only with great difficulty, because my thoughts kept wandering off to my duties. Give time. If you set your time, not necessary to come to church, set the time, do it faithfully. If you postpone it, double difficult. I also experienced these difficulties. When a soul has prayed well and left prayer in a state of profound interior recollection, others resist its recollection. And so, the soul must be patient to persevere in prayer. It often happened to me that when my soul was more deeply immersed in God and I had derived greater fruit from prayer, and God's presence accompanied me during the day and at work, there was more recollection and greater precision and effort set by duty, This was precisely when I received the most rebuke of being negligent in my duty and indifferent to everything. Because less neglected souls want others to be like them, for they are a constant remorse to them. Let me say, you are deep in prayer, but are all others like that? So they don't want to see you in this way, so it gives you a face. They dislike it. Not like, dislike. So every time when you're really recollecting, people, you can imagine how you feel. A noble and dedicated soul, even most simple, but one of dedicated sensibilities, sees God in everything, finds Him everywhere, and knows how to find Him in even the most hidden things. It finds all things important. It highly appreciates all things. It thanks God for all things. It draws profit for the soul from all things. And it gives all glory to God. It places its trust in God and is not confused with the time of ordeals come. It knows that God is always the best of fathers and makes little of human opinion. It follows faithfully the faintest breath of the Holy Spirit. It rejoices in this spiritual guest and holds on to him like a child to his mother. Where other souls come to a standstill and fear, this soul passes on without fear or difficulty. No matter how you have to encounter difficulty. When the Lord Himself wants to be close to His soul and to lead it, He will remove everything that is external. When I fell ill and was taken to the infirmary, I suffered much unpleasantness because of this. There were two of us sick in the infirmary. Sisters would come to see Sister Anne, but no one came to visit me. It is true that there was only one infirmary, but each one had her own cell. The winter nights were long, and Sister Anne had the lights and the radio headphones, while I could not even prepare my meditation for lack of a light. Some of the privilege to be served better way. They are all sisters, equal. They are all sick people. The next room, everybody can hear radio, but even nobody come even to visit her. When nearly 2 weeks had passed in this way, I complained to the Lord one evening that I was suffering so much, and that I could not even prepare my meditation because there was no light. So it's not my fault. And the Lord said that He would come every evening and give me points for the next day's meditation. Okay. I give you the point. Give the light. I am the light, you know. I'm the light. These points always concerned His sorrowful passion. So we share that I share His life. These points always concerned His sorrowful passion. He would say, consider my suffering before Pilate. And thus, point by point, I meditated upon His sorrowful passion for 1 week. From that moment, a great joy entered my soul. I no longer wanted either the visitors or the light. Jesus sufficed me for everything. The superiors were indeed very solicitous for the sick, But the Lord ordained that I should feel forsaken. So it's not the bad intention of the spirit. They want to have, to visit all, but I don't know how it happened that it was it's not served that way. This best of masters withdraws every created things in order that he himself might act. Many a time I have experienced such sufferings and persecutions that Mother M herself said to me, "Sister, along your path, sufferings just spring up out of the ground. I look upon you, sister, as one crucified. But I can see that Jesus has a hand in this. Be faithful to the Lord." Oh, it's a good sister to tell her, even you this suffering, it's okay. The Lord loves you more. Share his life. I want to write down a dream that I had about St. Teresa of the little child Jesus. I was still a novice at that time and was going through some difficulties which I did not know how to overcome. There were interior difficulties connected with exterior ones. I make novenas to various saints, but the situation grew more and more difficult. The sufferings it caused me were so great that I did not know how to go on living. But suddenly, the thought occurred to me that I should pray to St. Teresa of Child Jesus. I started a novena to these saints. Because before entering the convent, I had a great devotion to her. Lately, I had somewhat neglected this devotion. But in my need, I began again to pray with great fervor. So sometimes we pray to people when we are in need. Otherwise, just the same as we pray to the Lord. When we have no need, more honest. But when you need more prayerful or center. On the fifth day of the novena, I dreamed of St. Teresa. But it was as if she was still living on earth. So vivid. Huh? She hid from me the fact that she was a saint and began to comfort me, saying that I should not be worried about this matter, but should trust more in God. She said, "I suffer greatly too." But I did not quite believe her and said, "It seems to me that you have not suffered at all." No, all the saints give us the impression that they are always a holy person and saying that with all the light and all the beauty and everything, no cross at all. She said, "Well, I don't think that you suffer a lot." But Saint Therese answered me in a convincing manner that she had suffered very much indeed, and said to me, "Sister, know that in 3 days the difficulty will come to a happy conclusion." And was not very willing to believe her. She revealed to me that she was a saint. She still believed, but she said, "Me, I'm a saint. I tell you, 3 days, finish." You know, this is how our faith, even towards a saint, not to Jesus, even to a saint, the conversation, still, At that moment, a great joy filled my soul, and I said to her, "You are a saint," you know, in the dream. She answered, "I'm a saint. Trust that this matter will be resolved in 3 days." And I said, "Dear sweet Therese, tell me, shall I go to heaven?" Change topic. And she answered, "Yes, you will go to heaven, sister. And will I be a saint? To which she replied, yes, you will be a saint. But little Therese, shall I be a saint as you are, raised to the altar? And she answered, yes, you will be a saint just as I am. But you must trust in the Lord Jesus. I then asked her if my mother and father would go to heaven with unfinished sentence, and she replied that they would. I further asked, and will my brothers and sisters go to heaven? Take all the opportunity. She told me to pray hard for them, but gave me no definite answer. Understood that they were in need of much prayer. You see, it's very good that you don't know many things in the future, even in afterlife. That means you have to strive hard. If you have to carry our own cross, that's the main thing. Otherwise, you thought, oh, I'm already in heaven, I can be in heaven, and then stand still. You'll drop into temptations again. It's beauty that we don't know much things about life in the future. This was a dream. And as the prophet goes, dreams are phantoms. God is faith. Nevertheless, 3 days later, the difficulty was solved very easily, just as she had said. And everything in this affair turned out exactly as she said it would. It was a dream, but it had its significance. So, it's an encounter. Once, when I was in the kitchen with Sister Anne, she got a little upset with me, and as a punishment, ordered me to sit on the table while she herself continued to work hard, cleaning and scrubbing. And while I was sitting there, the sisters came along and were stunned to find me sitting on the table. It's punishment. Like primary school kid. Stand. Sit there. Don't move. Might be she's too nosy, asking many questions, stupid questions. Those saints are really genuine, no? Sister Faustina. she didn't, you know, make people mad. So genuine and so like a child. My goodness. She doesn't live in, she belongs to this world. You better sit there, keep your mouth shut. One said that I was a loafer, and another, what an eccentric. I was postulant at that time. Arthur said, what kind of a sister will she make? Still, I could not get down because sister had ordered me to sit there by virtue of obedience. She's a postulant, not yet a professed sister. So she just obeyed. Although that person is not exactly the higher superior, but at least she's the head of the kitchen. She's a superior to her. So, believe. Truly, God alone knows how many acts of self-denial it took. I thought I would die of shame. Shameful, no? God often allowed such things for the sake of my inner formation. But he compensated me for this humiliation by great consolation. During benediction, I saw him a great beauty. Jesus looked at me kindly and said, my daughter, do not be afraid of sufferings. I am with you. That's a certainty. Once I had night duty and was And I was suffering greatly in spirit because of the painting of the image, and I no longer knew which way to turn because they were constantly trying to convince me that the whole thing was an illusion. So when she told the people that they have to paint a picture of Jesus, you know, the Divine Mercy picture, all the people, including our superior, come on, don't dream about this. On the other hand, one priest said that perhaps I wanted to be worshipped through this image, and therefore I ought to try to get it painted. So I want to drop this idea. But then the priest confirmed, perhaps, nobody knows exactly, only she knows. But they didn't believe that Jesus is appearing to her at all. A fantasy, illusion. Thinking nothing, and then all this never happened. To get a painting of the sacred of Jesus in the past, never even St. Marco de la Coque just asked her to pray for his sacred heart, but nobody, imagine how this sacred heart looked like. Well, later they paint, they make statue, but all of fantasy, imagination. But this time, she have to tell people what to paint, how to paint, how to do tonight coming out. Meanwhile, my soul was becoming extremely exhausted. When I entered the little chapel, I brought my head close to the tabernacle, locked, and said, Jesus, look at the great difficulties I'm having because of the painting of this image. She come to the Blessed Sacrament, the body there, and of course, come on. What happened? He's crying. As if no answer. And I heard a voice from the tabernacle, my daughter, your sufferings will not last much longer. It's consolation. Okay. Won't be too long, but still you have to suffer going through. One day, I saw two rows. One was broad, covered with sand and flowers, full of joy, music, and all sorts of pleasures. People walked along it, dancing and rejoicing themselves. They reached the end without realizing it. At the end of the road, there was horrible precipice, that is, the abyss of hell. The souls fell blindly into it. As they walked, so they fell. And the number was so great that it was impossible to count them. And I saw the other road, or rather a path, for it was narrow and strewn with thorns and rocks. And the people who walked along it had tears in their eyes, and all kinds of suffering befell them. Some fell down upon the rocks, but stood up immediately and went on. Those people have chance to visit Medjugorje. There was two hills. One is the hill of the cross. The other one is the operation hill. We call it the Blue Mountain. All rocky paths. Many people just prayerfully sing the rosary or make the big way of the cross. It's like this, no? All stony. And some people even fall down sometimes. Not serious, but it happened quite often. At the end of the road, there was a magnificent garden filled with all sorts of happiness. And all these souls entered there. At the very first instant, they forgot all their sufferings. You suffered, but once you went through, paradise. Once there was adoration at the convent of the Sisters of the Holy Family. I went there in the evening with one of our sisters. As soon as entered the chapel, the presence of God filled my soul. I pray as I do at certain times without saying a word. Suddenly, I saw the Lord who said to me, "No, then if you neglect the matter of the painting of the image, in the whole work of mercy, you will have to answer for a multitude of souls on the day of judgment." Jesus warned her, be careful, don't stop, go ahead. After these words of the Lord, a sudden fear filled my soul, an alarm took hold of me. Try as I would, I could not calm myself. These words kept resounding in my ears. So I will not only have to answer for myself on the day of judgment, but also for all the souls of others. These words cut deep into my heart. When I returned home, I went to the little Jesus, fell on my face before the Blessed Sacrament, and said to the Lord, I will do everything in my power, but I beg you to be always with me and to give me strength to do your holy will. For you can do everything while I can do nothing of myself. It has happened to me for some time now that I immediately sense in my soul when someone is praying for me. And I likewise sense it in my soul when some soul asks me for prayer, even though they do not speak to me about it. The feeling is one of the sudden disquiet, as if someone were calling me. And when I pray, I'll obtain peace. Once I decide very much to receive Holy Communion, but I had a certain doubt, and I did not go. She didn't go for communion. No, it happened. I suffered greatly because of this. It seemed to me that my heart would burst from the pain. When I set about my work, my heart full of bitterness, Jesus suddenly stood by me and said, my daughter, do not omit Holy Communion unless you know well that your fall was serious. That means mortal sin. Apart from this, no doubts must stop you from uniting yourself with me in the mystery of my love. Your minor faults will disappear enough like a piece of straw thrown into the great furnace. Know that you grieve me much when you fail to receive me in Holy Communion. That's the wish of Jesus. Of course, you have to keep always in the saints, in the holy life, first of all. And then don't miss Holy Communion. Jesus wants to come physically, come to your heart. Physically, when you receive, you come physically. Of course, when you pray, Jesus is always there. Jesus is always here. But it's that important, man. You can see Jesus, how much you want to be united with us. Jesus tells Faustina, stand to us. Telling you and take it serious. That means to say, when you receive communion, don't take it lightly and then go away. No, just want to stay with you, and you have to open your heart, let him in, stay with him the whole day, the whole week, until the next time of communion. Keep him as a living tabernacle. It's a beautiful image, no? Even Pope John Paul II mentioned this once. I think the year of the Blessed Sacrament, he mentioned this also. He said, our Heavenly Mother is the first tabernacle to keep Jesus. And we are the living tabernacle to keep Jesus always there. Okay.